So as we talked, as you can see on the title there, events and their order. Many people are confused about the timeline of last day events. I know that I was growing up and even in theology school, coming out of theology school, I was still confused about the order of events. And I listened to a few presentations and they were different. And I'm not saying that mine is correct. Mine is probably different from theirs as well. But I just hope that you'll be able to follow clearly along this morning. And this is not a typical sermon. And what do I mean by this? I don't really usually share this in public, sermons like this. Why? It's because all that I'm taking today is from the Spirit of Prophecy, from Ellen White. And so, look, we can prove all these things that we're about to look at from the Bible, okay? We can, but it will take more than the hour that is allotted to us. So I'm just taking a shortcut today just to give you the order of events. But every single thing that Ellen White talks about here can be proved from the Bible, but it'll take us quite a few hours, okay? So I'm just doing a shortcut. I hope that you forgive me, but I don't normally preach a whole sermon with just Ellen White quotes. But today will be the exception. And I think this is the only sermon, quote unquote. I really didn't ever intend it for it to be a sermon, but it's the only thing I ever really share that is just all Spirit of Prophecy, none from the Bible. But look, before we get into it, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we have to come and study together today. And Lord, we ask for your presence, your Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us and to lead us and to teach us, O Lord. And I pray that you'd please help us to see very clearly the order of the last day events that you've outlined here. And help us, Father, to have a greater urgency as a result of studying your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I preempted this. Many are probably wondering if they can get these slides and all the quotes. You don't have to write it down. I've made it available at my website at adventproductions.com. You just look up last day events and it'll be under the miscellaneous section there. But I've made the quotes available and all the slides are available there. So please don't stress yourself out this morning thinking I'm going too fast. I am recording this. It's on Facebook and it will be posted up on my website that you can read along and listen along as well in case you misunderstand what I'm trying to say or I'm just simply going too fast. But understand we only have about an hour this morning, so let's get into it. Taken from Great Controversy 594, paragraph 1. So in the prophecies, the future is opened before us as plainly as it was opened to the disciples by the words of Christ. The events connected with the close of probation and the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented, but multitudes have no more understanding of these important truths than if they had never been revealed. So look, many people, she says, are confused as if these things have never been revealed. But I'm telling you, friends, it's because many are not taking the time to study it out. And look, I never learned this when I was in theology school. I went out and I was just confused one day. There's a lot of charts out there and I'm just looking. It's like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. What's coming next? What's going to happen? When does this event take place? And I hear different things and then I go back and I'm a bit confused. But I pray that we'll have clarity today. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, 128, Paragraph 2. They should know the things that will come to pass before the closing up of the world's history. These things concern our eternal welfare, and teachers and students should give more attention to them. Friends, we got to give more attention to these events that are going to come to pass shortly in our near future. And it concerns what? Our eternal welfare. For those that have not been studying with us in Daniel, Revelation, or Sanctuary, look, the purpose of prophecy, especially when we looked at from Daniel, helps us to see the urgency of time and why we got to do what we need to do in this time. And so, look, these events are very important for us to understand. I saw that the powers of earth, pardon me, early writings, 41, paragraph 2, I saw that the powers of earth are now being shaken and that events, what? They come in order. Okay, so they're not all messed up. They're not all mingled and they're all not all in any, it's just messed up here in our mind because we don't understand it totally. And so there are events that will come in specific order. So let's look at this first one. Messages to Young People, 89, paragraph 2. The tempest is coming and we must get ready for its fury by having repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will arise to shake terribly the earth. We shall see troubles on all sides. Thousands of ships will be hurled into the depths of the sea. Navies will go down and human lives will be sacrificed by millions. Fires will break out unexpectedly and no human effort will be able to quench them. The palaces of earth will be swept away in the fury of the flames. Disasters by rail will become more and more frequent. Confusion, collision, and death without a moment's warning will occur on the great lines of travel. The end is near. Probation is closing. Oh, let us seek God while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I'm not sure if you're realizing, even from the previous quotes and even this one, what makes seeking God even more important? Understanding the time that we're living in. We will see trouble on all sides. Ships hurled into the depths of the sea. Fires breaking out unexpectedly. We've seen that in Australia this beginning of the year. Disasters by rail will become more and more frequent. End is near. Probation is closing. Friends, what we see is frequent disasters coming upon the land more and more. Welfare Ministry 136, paragraph 5, talking about the same thing. The judgments of God are in the land. The wars and rumors of wars, the destruction by fire and flood, say clearly that the time of trouble, which is to increase until the end, is very near at hand. We have no time to lose. This world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecies of the 11th of Daniel have almost reached their final fulfillment. And so, friends, what are we seeing? We are going to fill out this timeline. As you see, one very clear line there is the second coming. But leading up to that, we have increasing disasters. By air, by rail, by sea, fires breaking out unexpectedly. We see increasing disasters coming upon us. And even today, pestilence, pandemics. So the whole world pretty much is affected with this one. But we are seeing these things increasing over time. Okay, so look, this pandemic is not the time of trouble. It is not. It's part of this first event of many things that we're going to look at that is increasing in disasters over time. But this should shake us awake, I pray. Let's continue. Early Writings, 270, paragraph 2. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this is what will cause a shaking among God's people. So look, friends, we have this thing, this term that maybe many people are not familiar with. It is called the shaking. You see, in the parables, there's one parable about how the seed was sown in the ground and it was good seed. And then at night, an enemy came and sowed the bad seed. And then the servants asked the master, where did these seeds come from, these bad ones? And he said, an enemy has done this. And then they asked, shall we go and pluck up all the bad seed? He said, no. Let them grow together until when? the end of time. And at the end, then they'll be separated. And so the shaking is what God is going to do to purify his church. And we see here the first level of the shaking is caused by the true testimony, the true witness to the Laodiceans. It's called a straight testimony, straight truth, preaching the straight truth and telling people, look, you can't be in sin and expect to go to heaven. There are many different types of messages that cut to people's hearts, but there'll be some that will not be able to bear it, and they will rise up against it, and it'll cause a shaking amongst God's people. So the first level of the shaking is what we call the straight testimony, straight truth, preaching it as it needs to be preached. Okay? Let's continue. Last day events, 177, we're reading a few paragraphs here. When the shaking comes by the introduction of false theories, these surface readers, anchored nowhere, are like shifting sand. They slide into any position to suit the tenor of their feelings of what? Bitterness. Not having received what? The love of the truth, they will be taken in the delusions of the enemy. They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, and will depart from the faith. The enemy will bring in false theories such as what? As the doctrine that there is no what? Sanctuary. Now you know why I wanted to read all the way to the end on this third paragraph. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Can you believe it? The sanctuary doctrine is so important to us. As we are in the midst of our SALT class and we're studying about the sanctuary, look, this is very, very important. And somehow, some people will depart from the faith because of this. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14 is of absolute importance to us when it comes to the sanctuary. But what is the second level of shaking? It is false theories, okay? False theories. So this is the second thing that is going to shake God's people. The truth will be preached, some will leave. Then false theories will be introduced, some will leave. You see that? Great Controversy, 607, paragraph 1. As the movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided, the law will be invoked against commandment keepers. They'll be threatened with fines and imprisonment, and some will be offered positions of influence and other rewards and advantages as inducements to renounce their what? Their faith. But their steadfast answer is what? Show us from the word of God our error. The same plea that was made by Luther under similar circumstances. Those who are arraigned before the courts make a strong vindication of the truth, and some who hear them are led to take their stand to keep all the commandments of God. Thus, light will be brought before thousands who otherwise would know nothing of these what? These truths. So what do we see that is taking place here? Over time, we see the introduction of the Sunday law, and the first two levels of it is inducements and the fines and imprisonment. Okay? So we just read it. And what is inducements? People offering you temporal advantages so that you will renounce your faith. I'll give you money, I'll promote you, I will make sure that you are not killed, you'll be kept safe, or, you know, and then other people will be fined or they'll be imprisoned. All right? Let's keep going. Last day events, 173 to 174. So over two pages. Prosperity multiplies a mass of professors. Adversity purges them out of the church. The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will not find it a hard matter to yield to the powers that be, rather than subject themselves to what? Derision, insult, threatened imprisonment. We've seen that already, right? And what? death. The contest is between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. In this time, the gold will be separated from the dross in the church. In the absence of the persecution, there have drifted into our ranks men who appear sound and their Christianity unquestionable, but who, if persecution should arise, would go out from us. When the law of God is made void, the church will be sifted by fiery trials, and a larger portion than we now anticipate will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you see this? I want you to notice in the middle of this slide right there, derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and what? Death. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 422, Paragraph 2. Fearful is the issue to which the world is to be brought. The powers of earth, uniting to war against the commandments of God, will decree that no man may buy or sell. This is Revelation chapter 13, the mark of the beast, save he that has the mark of the beast. And finally, whoever refuses to receive the mark shall be what? Put to death. We just saw this in the previous quote as well. But not one is made to feel the wrath of God until the truth has been brought in contact with his mind and conscience and has been rejected. There are many in the churches of our country who have never, even in this land of light and knowledge, this is talking about US, had an opportunity to hear the special truths for this time. The obligation of the fourth commandment has never been set before them in its true light. Jesus reads every heart and tries every motive. The decree is not to be urged upon the people blindly. Everyone is to have sufficient light to make his decision intelligently. The Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty, for it is the truth of point of truth, especially controverted. Friends, as I said, look, I can go through all of this in Revelation 13, but we will be stuck on this one point for one whole hour. So if you are not familiar with this and you're listening to all of this for the first time, please just trust me by faith right now. And I'm more than happy to sit down with you and have a Bible study or have a few Bible studies. And for those that are already studying, for the Bible workers that are studying with you, or elders or pastors, other pastors or deacons, whoever else that might be studying with you, just be patient. The Bible will make all of this very clear as you go through the doctrinal Bible studies, the foundational understanding of the Bible, which is what we call the milk of the Word of God. But look, there is going to be a decree that will be made, and it's not just what? It's not just imprisonment. You see here in the first half there, the mark of the beast, that is related with death decree, okay? So look, what is the second level of the shaking? Third level of the shaking? It is the death decree, the mark of the beast. And we see there, this is what is going to sift a lot of people. This is the really the final thing that will take place that will purify God's church. Okay, right now in the church, look, when you come into the church, don't trust just anybody. There are some people that seem sound, okay? Don't follow man. Make sure you write everything down and you go back and test it. Even this, I've made it available for you on my website there. You can go back and research it and then ask, show me this in the Bible. I will gladly show it to you. Okay? But you got to test everything. Prove all things. Trust nobody, not even in the Adventist church, not even the elder or the pastor, the person who's presenting to you right now. Test everything, friends. Too often we've come to this point where we like to quote people. But you got to get to this point where you know what the Bible says and how even to prove all of this. Okay? But this is the third level of shaking. This is how God is going to finally purify his church, separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat, the lost from the saved. This has to take place before the second coming. But there's still more. Early Writings 33, paragraph 2. I saw that God had children who do not see and keep the Sabbath. They have not rejected the light upon it. And at the commencement of the what? Time of trouble. At the beginning of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. See page 85. We will look at that in a minute. This enraged the churches and nominal Adventists, as they could not refute the Sabbath truth. And at this time, God's chosen all saw clearly that we had the truth, and they came out and endured what? The persecution with us. I saw the sword, famine, pestilence, and great confusion in the land. You see that word pestilence there? Take note of it. Look at this. The wicked thought that we had brought the judgments upon them. And they rose up and took counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking that then the evil would be stayed. Instead of blaming Bill Gates, instead of blaming China, instead of blaming Taiwan, instead of blaming some foreigner from overseas, the blame of pestilence will be placed upon God's people at the end of time. Is that happening today? No, friends. We are not in the commencement of the time of trouble yet. Okay? Why? No one is rising up to kill you yet. Right? Of course, if you are in prison because you disobeyed the MCO order, that's got nothing to do with the time of trouble. This is called bringing the time of trouble upon yourself. Let's stay home and be responsible citizens. Amen. But what am I trying to show you here from this paragraph? Look, the time of trouble somehow begins somewhere along the time of the mark of the beast, death decree. How do I know? We go back there. It says at the very end that they took counsel to rid the earth of us, thinking then that the evil would be stayed. So there will be this decree to kill us. That's the death decree, right? That is the time of trouble that Ellen White here is referring to. Now notice, there are two times of trouble that she talks about. And she calls both of them time of trouble. Just like in Daniel 8, the word sanctuary is used for pagan sanctuary and heavenly sanctuary. In the English, there's no difference, but in context, there is. Okay, so at the commencement of the time of trouble, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that just before the death decree? Is it just after the death decree? That part is not clear. So that's why I have jagged lines across this, okay? But we know that these two events coincide together. Time of trouble, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometime during the death decree. Same quote. Do you see there? It tells us, see page 85. She clarifies this. So let's go over to page 85 of Early Writings. It is particularly Early Writings 85, paragraph 3. The commencement of that time of trouble here mentioned does not refer to the time when the plagues shall begin to be poured out, but a short period just before they are poured out, while Christ is where? Is in the sanctuary. At that time, while the work of salvation, what? Is closing. Meaning probation has not closed yet. Meaning if you confess your sins, Jesus will still forgive you. Do you understand that? Trouble will be coming on the earth, and the nations will be angry, yet held in check, so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. There is a lot more that we could add here in detail that I have not added. But what is the work of the third angel? It is the gospel going to the whole world. That is the third angel's message of Revelation chapter 14, which you also find mentioned in Revelation 18, along with the second angel's message. Okay? So this commencement of the time of trouble is not the time of the seven last plagues of Revelation 15 and 16. We'll be looking at that in Revelation class. But Christ is still in the sanctuary. If he's still in the sanctuary, the mediatorial work of Christ is still open. People are still able to have their names written in the book of life and be taken out of the book of sin. The work of salvation at this time is closing, but it is not closed yet. Okay? So probation will close at a time after this time of trouble. Okay? This is not the time of trouble, the seven last plagues. So this is why this time of trouble often is called the little time of trouble. Why? The seven last plagues that comes from God is the big time of trouble. You want to go through this one and make sure that you're on the right side, because when you go through on the other one and you receive the seven last plagues, you're lost, friends, because probation will be closed already. All right, so this time of trouble, short time before probation closes, the work of salvation is closing in the heavenly sanctuary, but Christ is still there. He's still there. So there, this quote, I cut it in half because there's another part that I wanted to focus on. It's right here. At that time, which time? The commencement of the time of trouble. Okay? So at the beginning of the paragraph, the commencement of the time of trouble, salvation is not closed yet. It is closing. The work of salvation is closing, but it's not closed yet. And so at that time, the latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Friends, look, we need the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, to be able to stand when the seven last plagues are being poured out. Okay? So, look, what is this? Christian Experience and Teachings, page 177, paragraph 2. It is the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the what? The loud cry of what? The third angel. Do you remember here in our previous quote, it says there, so that the work of the third angel would not be prevented? You see that? It is the same thing. This is called the loud cry of the third angel, the latter rain, the refreshing. Early writings 279, paragraph 1, I was pointed down to the time when the third angel's message was closing. Same event. The power of God has rested upon his people. They had accomplished the work and they were prepared for the trying hour before them. They had received what? The latter rain, or refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and the living testimony had been revived. The last great warning had sounded everywhere, and it stirred up and enraged the inhabitants of the earth who would not receive the message. Pardon me for all those reading mistakes. What is this? It is right here. That's when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. It is something that we must receive in order to be prepared to stand when the seven last plagues are falling. So being filled with the Holy Ghost here has dual purpose. We need the Holy Ghost. Well, really, it has three purposes. We need the Holy Ghost to finally then mature the fruits. Okay? Our characters will finally then be matured with the latter rain. The second thing is, we need it to be able to preach the gospel. Okay? When you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 8, when the Holy Ghost has come upon them, they would have power to preach the gospel, to be witnesses. And so we see this throughout the whole book of Acts, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world, which is what we need to do today. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. But before we can be a true witness, we must receive the latter rain, the Holy Ghost, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the loud cry of the third angel's message, which shall light up the whole world with the glory of God. Okay? So this is the latter rain. This is the loud cry. This is the refreshing that we must pray for today. Let's continue. Last day events, 228, paragraph 4. Just before we entered it, speaking of the time of trouble, we all received what? The seal of the living God. Then I saw the four angels cease to hold the four winds, and I saw famine, pestilence, and sword. Nation rose against nation, and the whole world was in confusion. So just before we enter into the time of trouble, we will also receive what? The seal of God. Friends, look, we cannot receive the Holy Ghost without receiving the seal of God. Why? We are sealed with the Spirit unto the day of redemption. So this seal of God is very much connected with the Holy Ghost. And that is another hour's study looking at what the seal of God is. So friends, we are talking about really many hours of study if we are to go through the Bible. But if you would like to study this and see it from the scriptural point of view, you come and message me later and we'll sit down and go through it, okay? All right? But the only condition is you got to be from my church. I can't do it for every person in the whole world. I'm sorry. Maybe one day I might have the time to go through and write it all down in the Bible. Then I'm put on my website and you can see it all. But I'm sorry. My responsibilities are to my mission here as a local church pastor. And we are looking for those that are in our churches here in DAC and in SAC. I miss you all. Love you all. And I am so glad that everybody can join us. So look, I'm not saying that I don't love any of you from the other churches and from overseas, but you understand time constraint, okay? But you can see that there is a lot of texts that have to go in just to prove the seal of God. And I'm not even going to reveal it to you from here. Ellen White does talk about it, but we're not going to go through it. We just know that we receive the seal of God that's spoken about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, before probation closes during the time of trouble. When? We have no idea exactly. We don't even know when the Holy Ghost is going to be poured upon us. But we can have signs as to when it's near. Such as what? The Sunday law, making progress, fines and imprisonment, inducements. And then finally, there'll be what? Death decree, okay? So are we seeing straight testimony today? Yes. Are we seeing false theories today? Yes. So we do see all of this. And so the shaking is already taking place. We are just waiting for the last level of the shaking today. Okay? Let's continue, shall we? Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 431, Paragraph 2. When the third message closes, so that's the closing of the time of trouble there. Probation is about to close. Mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. You see that? Probation closed. The people of God has accomplished their work. What is that work? To bring the gospel to the whole world, to let everybody intelligently decide for God or against him. And it says they have what? Received the latter rain. All the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. So friends, it is very clear, before probation closes, before the third message closes, before mercy stops pleading for the guilty, we have to receive the latter rain. Angels are hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel returning from the earth announces that his work is done, that the seal of God has been placed upon his people. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. He lifts his hands and with a loud voice says, "It is done." So look, probation closes, but before that, we have to receive the latter rain. We got to finish the work that God has called us to, which is preach the gospel to the whole world. And we can't do that without receiving the latter rain. And then, what? The seal of God has been placed upon his people. So friends, look, this is really important to understand. All right? This close of probation will take place only after the seal of God has been placed upon his people, after everybody that can be will be filled with the Holy Ghost, because it prepares us for what? How Christ is going to cease his intercession in the courts above. Okay, mercy will no longer plead for the guilty inhabitants. Jesus, you see the yellow there? I'm pointing to it in my screen, but I realize you can't see it. Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. This is when probation closes. When does that take place? We don't know. Just as probation closed for the inhabitants of the world during the time of Noah and the flood, when the door closed, people didn't know. They only knew when the rain came. But for 7 days, probation had closed and nobody knew it. An angel came and closed the door of the ark. Noah and his family could not go out and nobody could go in. Continuing the same quote, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 431, Paragraph 2. Jesus ceases his intercession above Every case has been decided for what? Life or death. Christ has made the atonement for his people and blotted out their sins. We see this in the Bible as well. The number of his subjects is made up. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven is about to be given to the heirs of salvation. And Jesus is to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. So look, the sins will be blotted out at the time when Christ finally ceases his intercession above. Let's continue. If you don't know what that is, just hold on. We will see it in a minute, okay? What does having your sins blotted out mean? 432, paragraph 1. When he, Jesus, leaves the sanctuary, darkness covers the inhabitants of the earth. In that fearful time, the righteous must live in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor. The restraint which has been upon the wicked is removed, and Satan has entire control of the finally impenitent. You see that? So the little time of trouble, God's Holy Spirit is still influencing the whole world. But just like in the days of Noah, when God said, my spirit will not always strive with man, there is coming a day again when God's spirit will finally be removed from the whole earth. And then Satan will have entire control of the finally impenitent. The power attending the last warning has enraged them, and their anger is kindled against all who have received the message. Then the people of God are then plunged into those scenes of affliction and distress described by the prophet as the time of what? Jacob's trouble. Do you know what that's referring to? When Jacob was wrestling with Jesus, the angel, and he thought it was his brother Esau. Okay? So what happens then? Jacob's time of trouble begins. Jacob's time of trouble begins. Okay? Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 437, Paragraph 2. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin in obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life. So in the time of trouble, if the people of God had unconfessed sins to appear before them while tortured with fear and anguish, they would be overwhelmed. Despair would cut off their faith, and they could not have confidence to plead with God for deliverance. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, they have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been what? Blotted out. What is the result? They cannot bring them to remembrance. Look, friends, what does it mean to have your sins blotted out? You don't remember them anymore. We see this in Hebrews chapter 10, 16 and 17, where God wants to write his law into your heart and mind. And then he says, and your sins and iniquities, will I remember them no more? So look, friends, what is sins being blotted out mean? We have no more remembrance of sin. But friends, this has to take place if we are to go through Jacob's time of trouble. Why? If we have sins upon our heart, she says, and we go through this and fear and anguish, it will crush out the very life that we have. But God's people, they will enter into this time, and they will get to this point where God, Jesus Christ, will blot out their sins, and they will not remember it anymore. You have to go through studies in the sanctuary. You got to understand the role of the high priest. You have to understand the feast day, Day of Atonement, to understand all of this. We are talking about hours of study, my brothers and sisters. I'm not kidding when I'm saying that Ellen White is giving us a shortcut here. We're going through all of this, but please, please, I know that there are no Bible texts that we are using here, but if you want to study about this, you let me know. Or you talk to the person that you're studying with right now, pastor, Bible worker, whoever, lay member, ask them for the study on this through the Bible. It might take a few weeks, a few months, but I know by the grace of God, it is all there in Scripture. Okay, we can prove every single one of these. Let's continue. Early Writings 36, paragraph 2. I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary. Okay? So, and then will come what? The seven last plagues. So the four winds represent what? The seven last plagues. These plagues enraged the wicked against the righteous. They thought that we had brought the judgments of God upon them, and that if they could rid the earth of us, the plagues would be stayed. So look, the four winds would be held until what? Jesus' work is done in the sanctuary. When Jesus' work is done in the sanctuary, there's no more mediatorial work. Probation closes. Do you see that? So probation closes, and after that is what? The seven last plagues. It is Jacob's time of trouble. Okay? But you know what's very interesting? So we just read this, right? 36 paragraph 2 of early writings. But she doesn't stop here. A decree went forth to slay the saints, which caused them to cry day and night for deliverance. This was the time of Jacob's trouble. Then all the saints cried out with anguish of spirit and were delivered by the voice of God. The 144,000 triumphed. Their faces were lighted up with what? The glory of God. Look, I want you to notice, when the plagues, the seven last plagues, after probation closes, okay, another decree comes forth. This is not the mark of the beast, friends. Probation has closed already. People cannot change between the wicked and the righteous. The sheep can't become a goat. The goat can't become a sheep. Probation has closed already. Do you understand that? But after probation closes, we are told that another decree is put forward to slay the saints. Look, there is a death decree, if you can see, before the close of probation, is called the mark of the beast. I do not want you to confuse this with another death decree that is given after close of probation. The quote is very clear. That decree after close of probation is not the mark of the beast. Okay? There will be no martyrs during that time. And I'm going to show you this in a second, all right? But as with the time of trouble, there is the little time of trouble. Ellen White only calls it the time of trouble, but it is the mark of the beast. And then there is Jacob's time of trouble, which is the seven last plagues. It is not to be confused with the mark of the beast. So you can understand, and I understand, why there's so much confusion to the order of last day events, especially even when people look at just Ellen White's writings. It can be confusing. But another death decree is given here. Let's continue. 451, paragraph 1, volume 4 of Spirit of Prophecy. The eye of God looking down the ages was fixed upon the crisis which his people are to meet, when earthly powers shall be arrayed against them. Like the captive exile, they will be in fear of death by starvation or by violence. But the Holy One who divided the Red Sea before Israel will manifest his power and turn their captivity. If the blood of Christ's faithful witnesses were shed at this time, what is this time referring to? It is referring to after probation closes. How do we know? If the blood of Christ's faithful witnesses were shed at this time, it would not, like the blood of the martyrs, be a seed sown to yield a harvest for God. Their fidelity would not be a testimony to convince others of the truth. For the obdurate heart has beaten back the waves of mercy until what? They return no more. It sounds like their conscience is seared like a hot iron. It sounds like what? Probation has closed. What is Jesus saying here? When probation closes and God's people were still allowed to be persecuted and killed, look at the last sentence. If the righteous were now left to fall a prey to their enemies, it would be a triumph for who? The prince of darkness. Look, what is God saying? The only reason why he allows people to die, and let's go back to our timeline. What's going to happen? After close of probation, there is no more death of the saints. Look, the purpose of the blood of the martyrs. So before probation closes, while during the death decree of the mark of the beast, people are dying for Jesus. Why? There will be saints that will be allowed to be persecuted and put to death. Why? Because God says that person over there needs to be saved. And the only way to convict them and convince them, I need one of my saints to perish. Just like in the Dark Ages, the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. So it would be at the end of time. When one dies, another springs up. You see that? So there is a purpose for God allowing them to die. However, after probation closes, when people, their fate is finally sealed eternally, it doesn't make sense for anybody to die. This is when the 144,000 are made up. This is where there's no more death of any more saints, for it makes no sense. Why? Only Satan will be happy when this happened. But before it, when one person died, 10 would spring up. God has his purpose behind this. So we get a glimpse even into the 144,000. Another hour of study. This group doesn't die, but they're not the only ones that will be in heaven. So don't be confused. When we study about the 144,000 and people say it's literal, what, only 144,000 will be in heaven? No, this is the only group that never sees mortal death. No more death of the saints. Okay? If you want to study more about the 144,000, you got to join us for Revelation. It's not now. I am sorry. I have 10 minutes left and then we got to close. Early Writings 36, paragraph 1. I saw that the anger of the nations, the wrath of God, and the time to judge the dead were separate and what? Distinct. One following the other. They do not overlap in any way. Events come in their order, Ellen White said at the very beginning. Also that Michael had not stood up and that the time of trouble, such as never was, had not yet commenced. The nations are now getting angry, but when the high priest had finished his work in the sanctuary, he will stand up, put on the garments of vengeance, and then the seven last plagues will be poured out. Do you know, the part that I have highlighted here is actually found in Revelation chapter 11. Ellen White says these three events are separate and distinct. Anger of nations, wrath of God, time to judge the dead. Look, where do we see it? Right here. I'm sorry. I don't know if my screen is blocking that last one. But the anger of the nations is during the time of the mark of the beast, leading up to it. The wrath of God, very clearly in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 16, or I think it's chapter 15, verse 1. The wrath of God is the seven last plagues. And the time to judge the dead. Well, what is that referring to? If you study about the millennium, another 1 hour study, you will see in Revelation 20 that the saints, they get to sit on thrones judging. We get to judge who? The dead. Who is the dead? All the wicked that didn't make it to heaven. So we get to do this during the 1,000 year judgment. Events come in their order. They're separate and distinct one from another. So friends, I want you to take this in and have a look at this. Look, where are we? Where are we? We are at the point where the increasing disasters are. We're at that point where the death decree is just about to come in. A few more pestilences like this, a few more problems in the economy, a few more natural disasters to shake this world. And soon we will enter into that time of trouble. And it's this time that God's people will be filled with the Holy Ghost, the latter rain. It's this time that the seal of God will begin to be placed upon God's children and his people. And friends, then probation would close after that. When everybody has made a decision intelligently for or against Christ, then Christ ceases his intercession. The sins are blotted out. The 144,000 that are alive will not remember their sins anymore. And when at the second coming, Jesus resurrects everybody that are righteous, they will not remember the sins anymore. But during this time, another death decree is given, yet there will be no more death of the saints. There is much more detail that goes on here that can fill up little bits and pieces, but this is the main landmarks of what I wanted to give you. This is when Christ comes out of the sanctuary and puts on the garments of vengeance and pours out his wrath on the earth. And then the second coming comes shortly after that. I want to end with two quotes from the pen of inspiration. First, it's volume 9 of Testimonies for the Church, page 11, paragraph 2. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Friends, Warren Buffett, who's over 80 years old, says he's never experienced anything like this. I've never experienced a lockdown like this. And I don't know what our economies are going to be like in our nations when everything is restored back. Will it go back to as normal? We don't know. But I think we are seeing this sentence fulfilled before our very eyes today. Great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final movements will be what? Rapid ones. Don't think the mark of the beast will go on for 1 year. Don't even think it'll go on for 6 months. The Bible says, except those days should be shortened, none should be saved. You know, these last day events, don't think a death decree is going to go on and you're still going to go to work as normal. Selected Messages, Volume 2, 35, Paragraph 3. We are not now able to describe with accuracy the scenes to be enacted in our world in the future. But this we do know, that this is a time when we must what? Watch unto prayer. For the great day of the Lord is at hand. Satan is rallying his forces. We need to be thoughtful and still and to contemplate the truths of Revelation. And friends, Satan is rallying his forces today. My question is, where are God's children? Are they watching unto prayer? Are we learning to be thoughtful and still and learning to meditate and contemplate on the truths of the Bible? Friends, the last day event is not just to be there to show you, oh, okay, this comes after this, comes after this. It's calculated to help you to see we are at the very edge of eternity. The very next step is going to move very quickly. And don't think that when you see, okay, I'm just going to wait to see for the mark of the beast for it to come. And then I'm going to get ready. Friends, the mark of the beast is going to come in at such a time unannounced, like second coming of Jesus. No one knows the day or the hour, but it's going to sweep many people off their feet. And Satan is rallying his forces. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. You might say, oh, well, that's got nothing to do with me. No, this is going to be a world crisis. Look at this pandemic. It's a world crisis. And friends, everybody, no matter what religion, no matter what age, no matter what race, everybody will be involved. And we have to watch unto prayer and learn to really walk with Christ, thoughtful, to be still, to learn to contemplate and to be meditative. Friends, if there's anything that you need to get away from this study today, is we got to come back to Christ. We got to make his word more of a priority. And if you failed this past week, you got to be thankful that God has preserved you to this point. But he's still waiting. And he's still watching. He wants to develop that character in you that will be ready to meet the crisis at the end of time. That when it happens, God's faithful people can stand up and they will be filled with the Holy Ghost and we will go forth with great power to fill God's earth with the glory of God. And so more than anything else today, what is the work that we need to be doing? Preparation to receive the latter rain. Preparation to receive the Holy Spirit. And as we've studied in the sanctuary this past week in assault class, if I can just attach it to that, you know, when we look at the holy place experience, we are talking about witnessing. We're talking about being a light to the Gentiles and the heathen out there. And how? We got to learn to pray. We got to really learn to study our Bibles. But we will not get to that depth. We will not learn to watch unto prayer and be contemplating the truths of Revelation unless we got to share it with other people. I hope that many of you, as you're listening, you're thinking, how am I going to share this with people? How am I going to share it with my church? It's going to make me study more. It's going to make me pray more. And so we will finally get to a point in our experience that many people don't have, but will prepare us to receive the latter rain. And so as you witness for Jesus, as you say, God, I've never given Bible study, but today I'm going to pray, God, give me one Bible student. And God sends that student, understand that he doesn't need you to save this person. You need that person to be saved. Because it's through this process of giving Bibles to this other person that you realize, I don't really know Jesus. I'm not learning to pray really. Because now this person is coming and they're asking me all these hard questions, or they just stop coming to church, or they call me a cult and I don't want to come anymore. And you get on your knees and say, God, please, please. And you begin to pray. You pray like you've never prayed before. We now need an experience that we do not now possess. And that experience is on our knees and in learning to be thoughtful and still with God. I pray that somehow Jesus would give us this experience. We need it today. And I pray, Lord, that he would give us that desire, that he would help us to watch unto prayer and to contemplate the truths of Revelation. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, please give us this experience. Help us, O Lord, because many of us were falling short of it. Many of us have an intellectual knowledge of your truth, and we don't have something that has just hit our hearts. But Father, if you just open our eyes, please draw the veil back between the physical world and the spiritual and help us to see the great controversy that is taking place right now before our very eyes. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes and help us to see that the final movements of this earth are going to be rapid. Help us, Lord, today to stop putting off the work of our salvation. Help us to come back to thee, O Lord. And may you give us grace to strengthen us, to illumine our hearts, and faith that would move forward, going from victory to victory. Please, Lord, guide each and every one of us to that end today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.